I want to share with you just a story from this book we call the Bible, which we believe to be the words of God, have stories in them of how God works, what he does, how he responds to a heart that's hungry, like yours tonight, and what it means for your future. Would you pray with me as best as you can? God Almighty, in Jesus' name, Lord, we trust that as we open your word tonight, that you will do what you've always done. You will set free those that are bound. You will heal those that have been bruised in heart. You'll give sight to the eyes of those who don't see a way forward in their condition or situation. Those who have no resource, no power, no strength to get out of their struggles will see the resource of heaven that is available to them. And God, an entrance will be made into eternal life to those who make the choice tonight to receive you into their heart and into their life in a living relationship, a saving relationship. And Father, I thank you for this, God. I thank you for the anointing that always, always breaks the darkness. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, in the book of Acts, which is a continuing story of after Jesus rose from the dead, there's a book called Acts, which talks about the early years of the church, believers in Jesus Christ, and what that looked like and how they prayed and how God answered their prayers. And in Acts chapter 10, it takes a whole different turn than it has from the first nine chapters. There's a man here who lives really outside of the people of God. His name was Cornelius. And it's like some that are here tonight. You're here. You're kind of in it, but you're not in it. You're part of it, but you're not of it. And you know that in your heart. You say, these folks have victory, but I don't have victory in my life. They're talking about God coming into their life and giving them the power to become a new person, a new father, a new husband, a new friend, a new employee, just a new everything. But I have these stirrings in my heart for God, but I'm not new. I go back and I know I have no power to change. And this man Cornelius was kind of like this. Not exactly, but kind of like it. The scripture tells us that he was a man who feared God. That means he had a reverence for God. Now, you can be a person who's out doing drugs and you can be engaged in wrongful sexual acts, which is any sexual act outside of marriage, the bond between a man and a woman. You could be involved in all of these things. You could be doing drugs, all this stuff, but still have a reverence for God in your heart. And many, many people who testify here on Sunday night, that was their situation. They did have a reverence for God. I have a friend who was involved he's a Christian now, but he was involved in all kinds of things, and his name was in the newspapers, and there was all kinds of negative stuff about him. It was all true, mind you. And yet he would go home and get on his knees at night and begin to pray because he had a reverence for God. Thank God it brought him into the kingdom of God. But many people have that reverence and never make the decision. Elvis Presley was one of those, by the way, who was raised in a Christian church and raised knowing the truth of the gospel. And it tormented him all his life because I think he feared that to really surrender to Christ, I'm going to give up fame. So instead of giving up fame, he gave up heaven. What a tragedy. And Cornelius was a man who tried to do good deeds. I think he wanted to be good. And he started to, says he gave generously to the people and prayed. So he was trying to override maybe his own frailty by doing good things. We're all like that in some measure. You feel good when you do something good, don't you? Like, you know, let's say we stop and give somebody $5 on the street that looks like a legitimately homeless person. You walk away, you feel good. Because there's something inherently in us that knows the difference between right and wrong, between what we're called to be and what selfishness produces in the human heart. But the Apostle Paul, who's one of the early followers of Jesus Christ, he writes in a book called Romans that Paul says, I know what to do. But I don't know how to find the power to do what I know to do. Everything that I want to do, I find myself not doing. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. He said, I feel like there's this power of death that's at work inside my life. And he calls out in one of his books, he says, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Who will set me free from this captivity of not being able to do what I know is right? My heart tells me it's right. My mind knows it's right. I know I should be a faithful friend. I know I should tell the truth. I know I shouldn't be putting this substance in my body. I know I shouldn't be living like an alley cat out in the nightclubs at night. I know I shouldn't be doing these things. I know I should forgive. But yet, where do I find the power to do these things? And everybody who's not a follower of Jesus Christ yet, or those who are and remember their history, knows that's the truth. You want to. How many New Year's resolutions have you made that you've broken by 10 after 12? I speak from experience. You know, you have that old line sign moment when this fine, good feeling comes on you at 5 to 12, and at midnight something happens and you go around, you hug everybody, and in your heart you're just saying, wow, I'm going to be different this year. And you make promises to your own heart, and you find that you can't even keep them till you get home. There's an inability inside the human heart, but there was a cry in this man. And just like there's a cry in you, you want to do right. Otherwise, what are you doing here tonight? Unless you've come to pick people's pockets, I guess that happens here once in a while. It does, sad to say, even in this church. But nevertheless, you know, I shouldn't have gone off on that tangent, I guess. You're here because you want to do right. Why else are you coming to church on a Sunday night? There has to be a spark of something in your heart that you want to do right. And that was in Cornelius's life. And he was praying to God, but he had to know, I live outside of something. I'm not quite attaining or achieving what I feel I should be. How do you go deeper? How do you go farther than where I am? Now, at the same time that he's crying out, God is speaking to somebody who's going to speak to him. And God begins to speak to the Apostle Peter, and he shows him that he's about to cleanse something that Peter considers common or unclean. In other words, I'm about to do a miracle, Peter. I'm going to transform some people, and I don't want you to call them unclean anymore. I'm going to change them. I'm going to do a miracle. I'm going to be God to them because they have been crying out to me, and they do want me, and they do have a sincere heart. I'm telling you, if you have a sincere heart tonight, no matter where you're living, you're going to experience a miracle before this night is over. God's going to come to you, and he's going to cleanse you. The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, that blood of the Son of God that was shed on that cross for your sin, cleanses you from all the wrong that you have done. And not only cleanses the record of the past, but gives you the power to live for the future as a different person. The Bible tells us that if Christ is in you, if you've opened your heart to Christ, you become a new creation. The old things in your life pass away. Behold, all things become new. I know that to be true. The first time I ever heard this was from another cop. I was a policeman at the time, and you know my story. I met a Christian cop, and he started sharing with me over the course of quite several weeks, and it encouraged me to read the Gospel of John for myself. But I was more intrigued by this thought that I would be a new person. I could fool most people. I was still I was just getting by in society. I had a good job and stuff like that. But inside, I was dying a slow death, and I knew it. And I wanted to be a good husband. I couldn't. I wanted to be a father. I didn't know how. There were so many things I wanted. I was starting to drink really heavy and to hide the frustration, to the point where some of my friends were getting concerned about me, and I was only 24 years old by this point. But I heard a man tell me that if Christ would be in my heart, that I would become a new creation. I hated people. People had been a source of pain in my life for many, many years, and I don't want to go into all the stories, but you have to trust me on that one. People had caused me a lot of pain. I wanted nothing to do with people, but God says, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new mind and a new spirit. And this is not something we determine to do in ourselves solely. It's something we just simply open our hearts to and let God begin to do inside of our lives. It was 1978, May the 12th. I was on my way to work in uniform. And finally, I'd run out of arguments against God. And I pulled over on the side of the road and I prayed a simple prayer. It wasn't profound. I said, Jesus, if what Irv, his name was, he's dead now, but the guy led me to the Lord, his name was Irv. I said, if what Irv has told me is the truth, then I open my heart to you and I invite you to come into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. I put my car in gear and I went to work and I worked my shift. I didn't feel any different. A lot of people have a kind of a divine experience at the moment of their conversion. I didn't. I came home, I went to bed, but I've told it here probably 100 times. The next morning I woke up and I remember distinctly as if it was yesterday when my feet touched the floor, I knew I was a different man. I just knew something had changed inside of my life. Something had changed. Jesus promised that if you will open your heart, I will come and make my abode with you. I'll literally come and dwell with you and inside of you. And you will be changed from the inside out by the power of God. That was the promise that God made to me. That's the promise that my friend told me about. And it started my feet on a new course, a new path. It's been an incredible journey. These almost 40 years now. It's been a marvelous journey. I wish, you know, if I'd run out into the audience and grab you and shake you if I could, that you would at least pray the prayer that I prayed, if this is true. It was only an if, it was a capital I-F, but it was sincere and God knew it was and he received it because it was sincere. I said, God, if this is true, I open my heart. I wasn't interested in some religious pipe dream. I wasn't interested in church. I wasn't interested in playing any games. If this thing was real, I wanted it. And if it wasn't, I wanted nothing to do with it. But if it was true, God, if it's true, I open my heart. I invite you to come in and be my Lord and my Savior. And this man, Cornelius, suddenly there's a knock on his door. I'm going swiftly through the story, but you can read it for yourself in Acts chapter 10. And suddenly there's a messenger of God knocking on the door of his house, knocking on the door of his heart. He gathered his family, he gathered his friends, and suddenly he's beginning to hear a message, the same message that you're hearing tonight, that there are witnesses. Peter said, we are witnesses of all the things which Jesus did in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem. We know they killed him and hung him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and we saw him. He showed him openly. We encountered him. We have been touched by him. We have spoken to him. He has spoken to us. He has transformed our lives. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets bear witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission. That means the forgiveness of their sins. If you believe in him, you will be forgiven the wrong that you have done. God, in the person of his Holy Spirit, will come and make his abode inside your physical body, and you will be transformed from what you are into the person that God destined you to be. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The sin that separates you from God was dealt with on the cross. You will no longer be condemned. You are free to grow in grace. That means that the goodness of God will come into your life and he will guide you. He will lead you. He will help you. He will change you. He will cover you when you make mistakes and when you fail. You'll be covered by his goodness. Christians aren't perfect. The difference is when we fall, he picks us up and he calls us to keep on walking. And we are changed. The Bible says that we simply behold him, as we simply come to an understanding of who he is and what he's done in our lives. We are changed by the Spirit of God into the image of the Son of God. That means we become like in character to the Son of God. The old things do pass away and all things do become new in the hearts of those who love Jesus Christ. And here's the beauty of it all. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. God's Holy Spirit came down and fell upon these people. And the Jews who were there were astonished. The Jews being the people who were considered the exclusive people of God on the earth at that time. You have to understand this. The message of salvation up to this point was only for the Jews. One race of people on the earth, one culture of people. But suddenly, the Gentiles, that means you and me, unless you're Jewish here today, you're Gentile. Everybody who's a non-Jew is a Gentile. And suddenly, the Spirit of God had come upon the Gentiles, and they were speaking with tongues and magnifying God. In other words, they were given this initial evidence being spoken through their mouths of this newfound power of God, which now belonged to these people. It was astonishing that God was willing to pour out his spirit on people who had been formerly considered unworthy and outside the kingdom of God. That's what I love the most about Jesus Christ. That's what I love about Jesus Christ with all my heart. He's taught me over the years. I remember I was 2 years saved, and a friend of mine invited me to go to a halfway house with him in uniform. And he says, I want you to meet a guy, a former Hell's Angel. Well, they call them outlaws in Canada, Hell's Angel affiliates, motorcycle club gang member, who was 1 year spiritual birthday. And the guy's name was Bob the Cop. And I looked at him and said, no way, man, no way. Those guys can't get saved. You know the initiation rites they have to go through. You know what they have to do. He said, how is it possible that one of these guys could ever be saved? He said to me, come and see. Come and see. So I went to this halfway house on a weekend night, and this was a halfway house for guys that were heavy-duty crime, and they had all gotten saved in prison, and they came out of prison into this halfway house while they're reintegrating into society. And I was stunned to meet this guy. His name is Brian Bloomfield. He's an elder in a Pentecostal church today in Canada. Former motorcycle gang member who shortly after his conversion became a cake decorator, making flowers and roses on bakery cakes. Only God can do that. Who can do that? And it was in that halfway house that all these guys gathered around me and laid hands on me and prayed, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about that at the gate in a couple of weeks, about how that happened. But here's the miracle of it all, and I want you to hear this tonight. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. This one man who was seeking God became the doorway to countless people throughout the world. Became the doorway for God's Holy Spirit to touch an entire people groups that were outside of the kingdom of God through one man who had the courage to pray, who had the courage to open his home and open his heart to the message of God, had the courage to let the Spirit of God come upon him. And the point I'm trying to make is you are the doorway to countless numbers of people in your family, your community, your workplace, your home, but your family in particular, people who have no hope, but you're here tonight, and if you will open your heart to God, you are the doorway to what God will do in other people's lives. It's through you the gospel will come into your family. It's through you that your family will become everything that God wants them to be. Even ones that are not born yet will be touched by God because you opened your door to your heart tonight. You allowed the Spirit of God to come in. You allowed Christ to cleanse your life. And listen, folks, I'm the first in my family to come to Jesus Christ. Thank God I'm not the last, but I am the first to come to Jesus Christ of a family that were not really given to very much religion. Let me tell you. And I had to fight through. There was a lot of accusation, a lot of darkness. But I led my father to Christ before he died. I led my mother to Christ. One of my brothers is living for God. Cousins are coming to the Lord. People are streaming these services who knew me years ago in my family. God uses one life to open a door. I've seen thousands of people come to Christ as the gospel has been preached throughout the world. You have no idea what God will do if you open your heart. But I'll tell you what will happen if you don't. Nothing. Nothing. Your family will stay the same way that it is, barring somebody else opening their heart to Christ, like you're being given the opportunity tonight to do. But if you will open your heart, I'm telling you, if we live long enough, you'll come back to this church and you'll say, thank God you spoke to my heart that night. If we live long enough, I promise you, you'll return and you'll say thanks. If not to me, you'll say thanks to God for what he did in your life this night in this church in New York City. Whether you're just passing by, you're invited, whatever the situation is, or you're somebody here who's been playing casual religion with God, tonight is the night where you open the door to your heart and say, Lord, I'm done trying to make myself good. You're going to have to come and cleanse me. You're going to have to come and empower me. You're going to have to change me. I'm trusting you to change my home, my family, my marriage, my future, my children's future, my friend's future. God Almighty, I open my heart to you and ask you to do for me what I could never do for myself. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, it's the greatest decision you'll ever make in your lifetime. Never be another one to ever match it, because it will change the course of your life and it will change the course of your family. Children who maybe are out of your control today and seem to be long gone will come back because they've always wanted you to be stable. You watch what God will do. You watch. It will astound you. But it requires, like it did with Cornelius, an open heart. That's it. God, if this is true, God, if this is true, I'm asking you to come into my life. Me, as Paul said, I'm less than the least of the people in your house, and I'm the worst of sinners. That's what Paul described himself as, the worst of sinners. But yet, God, I'm asking you to change my life. Save me from my sin. Save me from myself. Save me from the way I do things. Give me a heart to turn from wrong and turn to right. As I start seeing what right is when I read this Bible, help me to turn to right by your strength and your power. And give me that life, not only eternal life, but Jesus promised a full life here. And so give me that life, God. Not to use for myself, but to use for your kingdom's sake and for what it is that you'd have me to do. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will, please, everyone who's here. Me tonight. Okay, you're driving tonight, and this is the side of the road. I made that decision 40 years ago. I haven't regretted 5 minutes of it. It's been a miraculous journey, so I know what I'm speaking about is true. I'm not selling you a false bill of goods here. This is not about packing out a church. We're already packed out. You can see that. It's about you. The gospel is about you. Christ died for you. He loves you. He died not to prove it, not just to make a point, but he died for you because he passionately loves you, wants you back to him again, wants to be your God. And so this is your chance to do what I did and pull over on the side of the road and just say, Jesus, if it's true, God Almighty, if it's true, God, if you can give me a new life, if you can forgive me for the wrong I've done, if you can make me into the person that only you can make me into, then I want to open my heart to you and invite you to be my Savior and to be my Lord. I'm going to ask you, as I'm speaking, just to wherever you are, you know that's you, just start slipping out of wherever you are and just make your way down here to the front of this auditorium. If you brought a friend, turn to your friend tonight and say, look, if you want to go, I'll go with you. I'll take you down there. But just come. Just come. Don't hesitate any longer. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Come on down. They're going to sing here for just a moment. And we're not going to ask you to do anything foolish. We're just going to pray together. That's it. And you're going to open your heart. Come. Just come on. Just come in close. The balcony, go to either exit. Talk to your friend. Just talk to your friend. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose giving your life to Jesus Christ? Think it over. Think it over. And slip out of wherever you are and just come and join these that are coming. And the sides, balcony, it's time now. You know the Holy Spirit's moving on your heart. There's a tug inside of you. That's God calling you by name. Just slip out. Join these that are coming. Move in close. Join these that are coming, and we'll pray in just a moment. When you read in the book of Acts about the early church, there were just a bunch of ordinary people. And most of them had failed. Well, they all had. They knew they had no courage. They were asked to do things they couldn't do. And so they were just kind of there waiting for God to come. And he came. He came. And he gave them power. And they were given such power that through their lives, the world as we know it was changed. We have the gospel today because of them. and they were no different than you. Now, you know, there's all kinds of lies we'll try to get you to believe they were, but they weren't. They were just people like you and me that just turned to God and opened their hearts and just let God use them. And because of it, we have the history of the Christian church. And I'm excited about what God's going to do through your lives. I'm excited about what I was going to take you. And no matter where you've gone and what you've done, you have no idea what God's going to do through your life. He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. I know there's a lot of pain in there, okay? But it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. He's going to take you way beyond what you ever thought was capable of. And don't let anybody tell you that it's over, that you've gone too far, that you've wasted anything, you know. A lot of the people who came to Christ were my age, and they did many things in their generation for him. So you just open your heart and watch what God will do. And you're just starting out there, young fella, hey? You're just, how old are you?
11.
And you're going to open your heart to God tonight? All right. You're just starting. And so you have no idea where God's going to take you. It's going to be amazing what God's going to do in your life. Amazing. Amazing. You just let him do it. One day you'll probably be up on a platform like this somewhere, just like you saw me do tonight. Because I'm just an ordinary guy like you. And I just opened my heart and said, God, use me. And you watch what he'll do. It's amazing what he'll do. And don't let anybody talk you out of it, okay? Don't let your friends at school talk you out of it. God's got something much bigger than anything anybody has to say for you. You watch what God will do. You watch what God will do. You watch what God will do in your life. No matter what you've done or where you've been, you watch what God will do in your life. He's going to take your life and use it for his glory. I'm going to ask you all to open your heart tonight and just pray a simple prayer with me. I'm just going to invite Jesus Christ to come in. And then as a church, we're going to pray for you. We're all going to pray for you. We're going to just raise our hands up and we're going to begin to pray. Well, I'm talking about the church now, but you can do that too if you want, okay? Pray a simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died in my place. You died for me to pay the price for all the wrong things that I have done. I'm sorry for the way I have lived, and I don't want to live that way anymore. I also believe that as you were raised from the dead, that I too will be raised from death and given a new life by the power of God, a life that will bring honor to God, a life that will be lived for you, Lord, by your strength and by your power. I believe that with all my heart. You will not disappoint me. You will not lie to me. You will not make me a promise and then not fulfill it. I believe that I will be given a new heart, a new mind, and a new future. I believe that with all my heart. Today is the first day of a brand new future in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.